is the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show on 860 AM WNOB and W293 CX 106.5. Wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, whether through those particular stations, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, the radio tab on the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website, or anywhere in between. I am your host, Joey Barrett. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
We are live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The WisconsinVegetableGardener.com is your destination for over 1,100 garden videos, short, long format, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, as well as in-studio video, full-length, and segments of this program, as well as podcast form in both areas. This is our final show for the 2017 gardening season. As we talked about, the importance of gardening. Many of us grew up with gardening, whether it was in a large format, large area, or very small. And some of you who are listening may have never gardened before, may know people who don't garden for a variety of reasons they gave you. Some of them may be legit, and some of them may just be excuses that they are giving you why they don't garden, even if they have a very beautiful backyard that could be very productive. And we're going to go over a number of ways that reasons why.
Right. So first of all, a lot of people will garden because the freshness and the flavor, and also the convenience. So maybe you don't want to grow a huge garden, but you want some fresh tomatoes for your nice salad during the summer, some fresh lettuce or some nice herbs, then that is an option for you.
Well, the majority of produce that is purchased in the grocery stores travels an average of 1,500 miles from the field to your dinner table. And a lot of that is harvested prematurely. For example, tomatoes are harvested when they are not ripe. They are gassed with a gas in order to increase the ripeness, the procedure of turning the fruit ripe.
And it's not like it just comes from, like, say, okay, let's say like California to here. It comes from California, then it sits in a warehouse somewhere, usually for a day or two, and then it gets put on the store shelves. So it's a process. It's going to take probably, it's not only 1,500 miles, but it's probably like a week.
Right. And I've not nailed down this statistic, but I have read that 3 out of every 5 semi-trucks you see on the road is hauling food somewhere,
mm-hmm.
Which we understand that the truckers have a tremendous impact on the economy, and if they stop, everything stops in this country. But 3 out of every 5 has some type of food product that they are delivering somewhere in the nation. And, you know, the freshness of it, you can't compare.
Now
we're talking about store-bought, non-organic. We're talking about stuff that's shipped. If you're going to the farmer's market today, or you go to a farmer's market, that stuff has either been picked this morning or late last night, right before dark, and it's sold today at the farmer's market to you. So it's within 24 hours it's been picked, and you've harvested and you've bought it, and you're probably using it within that next 24 hours or processing it to preserve it.
Right. Very true. So it's definitely the freshness, the flavor. And definitely the flavor, especially something like tomatoes.
Nutrient value,
cucumbers,
too.
Cucumbers, yeah, nutrients.
As you harvest something, it immediately begins to decay, rot. It begins to revert itself because it's no longer getting nutrients from the plant. It goes back into the earth stage. It's decaying on itself in a very minute stage. And at a certain point, it goes very quickly. As some of us, if we've left fruit or vegetables on the counter, it seems like overnight, at a certain point, it just goes to mush, slime, rots, mm-hmm. that type of thing.
Right. So that's definitely one good reason. You can save on your grocery bill. So this is obviously
even
one,
farmer's market.
Even going, farmer's yeah. market can save you on your grocery bill. But definitely both are very important. And you don't have to. It's nice because during the summer, we're not buying any fruits or vegetables. And during the winter, since we do a lot of canning, there's a lot of things we're also not buying either.
Right. And, you know, if you're a new gardener, if this is your first year gardening, or you've listened to us going, I think I want to try to garden something next year, I will be the first to admit that you are going to have failures, but you have to learn from those. And it's advised, and from our level of expertise, because I think we have a certain level of expertise, 25 plus years, and some of you have more than that, that if you have a question about, hey, I want to try to do this, how would you recommend it? Send us an email, because we have done the mistakes. We have made the mistakes. We've got the videos and to show how to do it correctly.
Even if we haven't.
We know people who have.
We know people who have. And we would, and not saying that we're perfect and we've made all the mistakes. We have plenty of room for mistakes in our future. But at least we are glad to help out.
Minimizing pesticides and the exposure of pesticides. If you're growing your own, you know what you're putting in the soil. Even if it's a non-organic fertilizer, if it's an inorganic fertilizer and you're putting it in, you're knowing what ratios you're putting in, you're knowing what you're spraying on the crops. You're knowing what you're feeding your family, your kids, your grandkids, that type of thing. You know what's going on. When you go to a farmer's market, yes, you can talk to the farmer. If it's certified organic, there's levels that that are safe, that they're not doing, that they're protecting, you know, making the food safe for you. If you go to the grocery store, you may not know what has been sprayed. If it's an inorganic, non-organic product, what may be or may not be in it. True enough, it's supposed to be safe for human consumption.
But we don't know.
Gardening for exercise goes without saying. Now, there are easier ways of gardening. Traditional ground gardening is probably one of the most startup difficult but most economical friendly to dig a area in the backyard, but there is a lot of work that goes into it.
But you, if you have a job like for myself, for example, I essentially work in an office 40 hours a week. I have the option to stand up or sit down, but I'm inside for those 40 hours a week, and it's nice to get outside, to be in that fresh air, to get my hands in the dirt, and it's I think it's good not just for your physical health but your mental health as well.
Right, and we talked about for your health. Now, we've read this before, and it's called the Farm Effect. It's from Central Texas Gardener Linda. Is a producer down there. We're good friends with her. It's in the Austin, Texas area. It's a weekly show, 39 weeks a year on PBS. And they had this segment on, and I thought it was very important to share with all of you. As what we've done this, we've shared this before, we'll share it again, and Holly's going to read what the Farm Effect is and explain it.
Most of you devout Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener fans already know the amazing healing energy that can be found when your hands are in the dirt. Digging in the dirt is good for you and good for children also. The microbes in garden dirt can boost your immune system and make you healthier and happier. Unfortunately, we have become a nation of germaphobes, using hand sanitizers and wipes and strong chemicals for disinfecting our homes. In the past 20 years, there has been a dramatic increase in asthma and allergy rates. We see pharmacies popping up on every corner as a result. 1 in 12 children has asthma, and even more have allergies. When we changed from an agrarian society in the late 20th century, allergies became more prevalent in the upper classes in the U.S. and Britain. Farmers and their families were the least likely to suffer from allergy issues. A recent study of an Amish community in the U.S. found that they had the lowest rates of allergies in the developed nations. The study found that these Amish families, including pregnant women and children, worked and played among the farm animals, and in the barns were regularly exposed to a variety of microbes. Women exposed to the microbes while pregnant have been found to have children with the lowest rate of allergies. The initial exposure causes the children less reaction to pollen and dander. A sort of vaccination effect was named the Farm Effect. The problem is not that the pollen is out there. It's that we react to the pollen, and early exposure to the allergens allow children's immune systems to adapt to their environment. A common soil mycobacterium was found to have a natural antidepressant effect on the brain. It can actually have the same effect that the drug Prozac has on the brain, which without all the side effects. Working in the soil can help stimulate serotonin production, which leads to feeling more relaxed and happy. When we harvest food and the brain produces more dopamine, there's actually a harvest high that is probably linked to our primitive brain when hunting and gathering successfully was crucial to survival. Having your hands in the soil can lower blood pressure and stress hormones and improve memory. Inflammatory skin conditions like psoriasis and gut conditions like Crohn's disease and even arthritis can be improved by experiencing soil microbes. Gardeners get a lot of vitamin D from being outside, which also increases the good hormone serotonin and helps to regulate melatonin levels, which can also lead to good sleep. Children who play outside more regularly tend to be more adventurous, confident, and self-motivated to use their imaginations more. So get the kids involved in gardening as early as possible. Provide them with a window box or container garden that doesn't have to take up space. You might even notice that they will eat a wider variety of fruits and vegetables when they have experience of growing and harvesting food, and let the kids get dirty. Splashing in puddles and making mud pie is not only fun for kids, it's actually good for them. And if you're feeling a little blue, a little garden green might be your best cure.
Courtesy of Central Texas Gardener, Linda down there, the producer, provided that for us. And there's a lot of sense to that. And there are scientific studies that's backing those claims in that.
And I have to agree. I know a lot of people nowadays don't want their kids to get dirty. They don't want them.
Is it not because they don't want to get dirty? Is it because I have to clean the kids up and they're going to drag it in the house and get the house dirty?
I don't know.
Okay.
But either way, dirt is not the worst thing for your children. So definitely, I would have to agree. I think that there's not just even that science behind it, but the fact that going onto the garden can be good for all of us.
Yes, and the last thing we want to mention on this, and you can use these to entice your non-garden friends to garden a little bit, or to try gardening, is the social aspect of it. Whether it's a community garden, you're going to interact with other members of that community garden, and there's a lot of community gardens around the Milwaukee area and around the country that you can participate in for a very low fee and get a lot of return for that investment. And that's like having gardeners on hand 24/7 whenever you go there. There's experienced gardeners that have gardened there for many, many years that you can say, hey, I've got this problem. Can you come over and take a look? Or how can I do? Or how can I make this happen? And they will help you. And you can learn, just be interactive with them. I remember a story, and this is on a larger scheme of agricultural social aspect. My grandfather, 83 years old, he remembers back when the horses were used to plow the fields. And at a certain point, you would take a break. You'd take the horses up underneath the shade tree and give them a water and let them take a little break. Well, the neighbor would do the same thing, so they would talk at the ends of the field where, back years ago, the corners were marked with what they're called cornerstones. They were giant rocks that marked the property lines of fields. So back then, they had that social interaction that even a few minutes, hey, how's it going? What's going on? That type of thing. Now we've gotten to modernization, tractors, combines, technology where you don't talk to anybody. And that's the same thing with social media. We are friends on social media, but we really aren't friends because it's just an image on a screen and you type a few words to somebody and you never, ever meet them. So we've lost in society that connection, that human connection that we once had, but thanks to technology, we have lost that.